All right, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Jude. We're going to continue walking through Jude. You know, as I continue to study this book, I'm constantly encouraged and reminded and refreshed on how blessed I am to understand the gospel clearly. I did not come out of a lot of error. I had some terminology issues where I was raised in the church that I attended from my youth. But overall, it was not steeped in very bad doctrine that I had to get untwisted. I was extremely thankful for this ministry. And I know many of you who are sitting here are thankful for Dr. Lindstrom, for Dr. Arnold, for all the teaching that has come out of here, just the decision to stay with the Bible. But there is a tendency for young Christians to get caught up in error. And that's because of these false teachers who are knowingly deceiving people. And that is exactly what Jude is addressing. We're talking about apostate teachers. We're talking about false teachers that know what they're doing. They're running a business, so to speak. And they are actively deceiving young believers. And I have seen this before, not really in my life, but I've seen it on the internet in other people's testimonies. There are entire websites dedicated to these harebrained ideas about the scripture. And it catches so much traction and it just eats up people. And one of the hallmarks about an apostate teacher is they don't believe that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough. You can really solve any problem that you have with a person's teaching by seeing what they understand about the gospel. Now, I've had dear brothers and sisters in Christ where we disagree on some minor things in the scripture, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ solely because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I will not have fellowship with a teacher or a preacher in a way that is personal if they don't understand the gospel. And you may say, well, that's harsh, and you're taking away your opportunity to win them. I didn't say I was not going to actively try to win them. I do have conversations ongoing with pastors who are unclear on the scripture, and I challenge and motivate them out of love to get right because they're being used by the devil. But there are a group of elites, very wealthy, very powerful, very charming, who are deceiving people, and these are apostate teachers. And that's what we're addressing throughout Jude. We're going to look at verses 11, 12, and 13 tonight. And we're going to break down what is listed in these verses. A lot of good truth. But remember, Jude is, the hallmark here is verse 4. And I want to read it again. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord, the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember verse 3 as well. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So we're splitting this book up into two sections. The apostate teachers, what they do, the things that they look like, comparisons of these apostate teachers that we see in nature, and then also a call for you and me. And when I say you and me, I mean any believer, anyone who has put their trust in Christ, to stand against these things, to persevere in the gospel. Amen. Now that word persevere, it's got a magnet to it. You know what that is. It has been mutilated and destroyed by the Calvinist teaching, which says perseverance is a requirement for the saints to know they have eternal life. That's not true. Perseverance is a requirement for a dedicated disciple, somebody who wants to be used by God and will be able to stand up against false teaching. You need to persevere in correct teaching of the scripture. We have to understand that as believers, we do need to be disciplined. We do need to avoid sin, but it is not for eternal life. And that's where I'm going to leave that, because otherwise we can go on and on and on. Look what it says in verse 11. Woe unto them. If you do a word study on that phrase, woe unto, you will see there is no place in Scripture where it is a good thing. Woe unto you, brother, you did well. That's not how that goes. This is an extreme warning. We think of Jesus when he said, "Woe unto the Pharisees, who were inwardly wicked. Outwardly, they had the appearance of righteousness." Jesus called them whited sepulchers, not because he hated them, but because he was against the type of religion that they were teaching. In a whited sepulcher, you have the image of a coffin that is ornate and decorated and beautiful on the outside. But how many coffins would you open up and want to lay down inside of with a dead body? None. The body does not get better as it literally dies in the ground. The coffin may look good, but there's a rotting corpse in there. Woe unto them is a phrase here, because to these apostate teachers, if they do not change their mind on what they are teaching and believe on Jesus Christ, their damnation is sure. It is a guarantee. And I believe the scripture is showing here that there is a high chance that these people will not believe on Christ. They will not turn from their ways, not for salvation, but they will not change their mind on what they're teaching, and they'll continue into this error. So we have three examples that are given from the Old Testament, and each one has a different word. We have Cain and Cain's way. We have Balaam and Balaam's error. And we have Korah and Korah's gainsaying. This is a beautiful breakdown of this verse. There's so much packed in here, so let's go ahead and start unpacking it. Verse 11, "For they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." So we have these three individuals that all had their own unique flaw, and these flaws can be rightly attributed to apostate teachers. The first one is the way of Cain, and that is the acceptance of religion, but a denial of the blood. Denial of the blood. Why? Because we see Cain in the Old Testament bring an offering of his own hands, fruits that he tilled of the ground, which is a representation of man's good deeds. He brought those knowing that there was a blood sacrifice. And many will say, well, did Cain know? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Because his parents' sin produced a covering of their own, which was of leaves and thorns and all those different things. And the Lord removed those and provided the coats of an animal that requires an animal to be slain. You can also see in the way that Cain killed Abel, it was a mockery of God and the sacrifice that was required. The way of Cain is to say yes to religion, but no to the blood. Yes to religion, but no to the blood. Boy, do we see that today. You can look at these apostate teachers and see where their power resides. They have churches. They have congregations. They have ministries. But they have no power because they do not teach or believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They may even say those things, but they don't believe it themselves. How do we know, Jesse? How can we know? By the things that they say they believe. You can see oftentimes when these apostate teachers are asked questions, they flee from it. They flee from it because they do not have answers. They will be exposed in the light of Scripture. But that is the way of Cain. And so I want to look at a couple of verses here. Hold your place in Jude and go to Acts chapter 20. The blood of Jesus Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hello, that's what it says. And we have to understand that. I remember hearing one of these modern day worship bands, and I use that word extremely light, saying, we've got to get rid of these bloody hymns. No. No, we don't. If we take the blood sacrifice out, you ain't got no salvation.
Amen.
The blood must be shed. But there's an active attempt to modernize and scrub and become ecumenical. And that means without doctrine, without any form. We're the church for all. We don't teach about sin. We don't teach about wickedness. We're not going to condemn you because ultimately that's God's job. Friend, it's a wicked, wicked teaching, if you can even call it a teaching. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own what?
Blood.
Quickly, go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. Page 1298, verse 12 reads this. Neither by the blood of of goats and calves, but by, what's it say, church? His own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then look in Revelation chapter 5 in verse 9. Ooh, this is one of those verses where it gives you chills. Realizing that these things have yet to come to pass, but they will. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 says this, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy what? Blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So the way of Cain is to say yes to organized religion, yes to a way that man can bind himself back to God, but a denial of the blood. That's why I don't like that word religion. I love when I'm soul winning and someone says, well, I'm not religious, because I throw that ball right back and say, neither am I. I despise religion, because religion traps people into do. Jesus said, done. That's it.
Amen.
But the way of Cain is to offer the fruits of the ground, to offer good works. You know, you can't choose to be a Levite. You realize that? You have to be born into it.
Yep.
It's the same thing with eternal life. I can't just simply choose by my good works to become a child of God. I have to have a new birth, which
Amen.
Comes by believing on Jesus Christ. But when we deny the blood, we go the way of Cain. And these apostate teachers, you know it. They rule TV. They rule radio. They are poisoning the internet ministries. They don't say anything about the blood of Christ. You ever gone to a church's website and just you have to strain to find the gospel?
Yep.
You can't find it. And if you do, it's a copy and paste from the Southern Baptist doctrine, which is getting worse and worse, by the way. The second thing that we have here is after the error of Balaam, and you should mark this here, for reward. You remember Balaam? He was bribed and took the bribe out of filthy money. He wanted that money to try and buy favor with God, to see if he could somehow manipulate God to curse Israel for going into the promised land, and he took money for it. Judas betrayed Christ for filthy lucre. Money, money, money. It's all about the money. And you see these apostate teachers, they have no shortcomings when it comes to finances. They could lose $10,000 and they could keep on going without missing a beat. They accumulate wealth and they have this appearance of being religious, but they're motivated by, and look at what this verse says in Jude 1, verse 11. Greedily, greedily, after the error of Balaam. This is the belief that God's favor and power can be purchased with money, the error of teaching others to sin against God. That was Balaam's second error, that he was going to try and teach the Israelites how to sin against God. So it's one of the worst things that you can do is teach others how to sin. And I don't mean by the way that you live, I mean by the things that you say and the things that you do. And boy, it's out there, this organized structure. Hold your place here and look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Here's the command to the elders, to the ones who are supposed to be leading and guiding the church. Verse 2, 1 Peter 5. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Why would this be written in light of what we just read in Jude? Because there is a temptation. There is a temptation with money. Think about it. Could $1 million solve some of your problems right now? No, I don't know if anyone here is going to deny it. It could solve issues, take you out of debt, set you up and your family, but there's a strong magnetic temptation to look for that money. Some pastors won't even take a church if the salary's not good enough. If this church in 6 months was unable to support my salary, I'd still be here, but I may be somewhere else during the day. I may be at a different job. Because it doesn't matter how much I'm paid. It matters that the Word of God is taught.
Amen.
And here's the issue with apostate teachers. They eat that stuff up. As soon as the money's gone, they're gone. You see these missionary agencies they're fraud. They're fraudulent. Why? Because the goal's not to help people. The goal is to set up those and those around them. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy. We covered this slightly we actually covered this in depth on Sunday morning. So we're just going to glance at it as a reminder. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. This is to a young man who's getting ready to go into the ministry where people will be giving. People will be supporting him. And he will have a responsibility with the things that he receives. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, either that's true or it's not. And I believe since it is the Word of God, it is true. Amen. And you can study history and see where money was behind all the motivation. Money is behind all the motivation of evil. And what's happening in our nation today? Print, 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 print.
Yep, just sum up.
And you know what's going to happen in the end times too? Those dollar currencies are going to fail. We're going to go back to hard gold and silver and precious metal and all those things. And houses and land and all that's going to have value. And guess what? The elites are going to have it. The elites are totally going to have it. And they're going to control it. And it's going to be a part of their world system because it is that important. And we will see that Babylon will be destroyed in half an hour. And the countries and the world will lament over her gold and her silver and her songs and all these things that have perished. Money, money, money. Apostate teachers, that is their flaw. They love the money. They're not going to do it just for the sake of deceiving. They got to get something out of it. Look in Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1 in verses 10 through 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. People going to churches, going to the homes of young believers, and trying to get them to help them financially for doctrine that is a heresy. It's prevalent and it's happening. It's how people get started in wicked practices. And now let's look at the way of Korah. Go back to it's Kor here, but if you look in Jude chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "And perished in the gainsaying of Kor. This is the appearance of better knowledge, seeking to destroy what God has established." If you study this story in Numbers, you see where Kor went and he deceived. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Thousands of people to rebel against Moses, to rebel against the ways that God had established. They went in to stop the sacrifices. You don't have that kind of power over God. What happened to them? Literally, the earth opened up and consumed them. And Israel fled because they were afraid that they would also be consumed. Gainsaying here is to cause controversy, to question. I wrote down here, church splitters. Church splitters. Now, not every church split is a result of an apostate teaching. But let me tell you, all of you who are here tonight and those of you who watch on the internet, this ministry, if we should continue here, we will have people that come in here with the sole goal to ruin what is here.
Yes.
Count on it.
Yes.
It will happen. And that does not mean that we have our spikes up to every new visitor. That does not mean that we are cold and unfriendly, but we need to watch the things that we allow. That's why I'm not one for small church Bible studies in homes, because that's how stuff starts, man. I have been to church Bible studies, and the doctrine is clear at the church, and they have MacArthur studies and Piper studies, and they're reading out of Bibles like that, and it is poisonous, and it begins with just a small little thing, and it turns into a disaster. But there are people who go into the homes and churches of others with the sole purpose to destroy them. There's a cult right now that started on YouTube with a clear gospel where they actively go into churches and uproot the pastor. And it works. Gainsayers, causers of contempt. You have to watch and be careful of those. Look in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 through 18. Paul with a warning here, as we are running out of time. Paul with a warning here. He says in Romans chapter 16, look there in verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And what? Avoid them. Boy, I have seen this in my own life where people who are caught up in bad teaching leave the church. And somebody decides, well, I'm just going to stay around them, you know. I'm not going to convict them. I'm just going to be a good influence. I'm going to do my best. You know what happens? 9 times out of 10, they end up going with them. We're supposed to mark false doctrine, and we're supposed to avoid it. Well, Jesse, that's not love. It is love. If we're preaching the gospel here at Calvary, out of love for this ministry and out of love for the gospel, we don't fellowship with those who are knowingly producing false doctrine. You can't do that. It's not a smart thing. Mark them and avoid them. Can you still actively reach them for Christ? You sure can. But that doesn't mean you have to invite them into Bible studies and let them speak. You have to be careful. There are ignorant men out there who think what they believe is right and that's it. And they will not respond to the rebuke of Scripture. They will just try to deceive people in their own way. You have to be careful. 18, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, the flesh. And by good works and fair speeches, what do? Deceive the hearts of the simple. Those who are yet to become rooted in doctrine can be deceived by, oh, they speak so well and so eloquently, and they have so many verses with that which they support. They're all out of context. What they're saying is not proven biblically. Listen, just because someone writes a book doesn't mean that they should have written that book. You have to be careful. We have to be careful. So to wrap up that verse 11, Cain, the acceptance of religion, but the denial of the blood, the power of it. Balaam, the appearance of structure in religion and religious power, but its purpose to make the individual rich. And the appearance of better knowledge, seeking to destroy what God has established by undermining. Now let's look at verses 12 through 13 as we close. There are 5 natural examples that are given here that we can see in nature that are comparison to the false apostate error. Verse 12, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast without you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are, without water, carried about of winds. Trees, whose fruit wherewith, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Here's those 5 things that we can see. Those spots, moldy spots, that are rotting on top of the truth. We have empty clouds, the appearance of rain, the appearance of nourishment for the ground, but they are unable to produce real growth. Dead trees that are still planted in the ground, but they bear no fruit. Those are the ones who are dead spiritually because they have not put their trust in Christ, and they are just awaiting the physical death. Twice dead. Raging, foaming waves. Chaotic in word and nature. In the way they act. In the way that they supposedly teach God's word. It is without any fruit of the Spirit. No love, no joy, no meekness, no self-control, no gentleness. I've seen preachers stand on their pulpit and literally stomp on their pulpit as if to prove a point.
Yep.
I'll let this do all the stomping.
Amen.
And then, of course, wandering stars, aimless and doomed to eternal separation in hell. Can an apostate teacher get saved? Sure can. But he better be careful. If he continues in those teachings, it's going to become harder and harder. He's going to harden himself. Just like Pharaoh hardened his heart. Oh, the Calvinist loves that. I have to stop here because else we will continue. But the Calvinist loves that. He says, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. No, he did not. Pharaoh hardened his heart against God and made that decision. Apostate teachers can do the same thing. We are to hate the things that they teach because we have the truth of Scripture, but we need to actively reach them.
Amen.
Boy, if I had an audience with some of these big-time preachers, I know exactly what I would tell them. But I would not ask for God to bless their ministry. No way. Nor would I ask them to come and speak in this pulpit.
No.
Bar the door. Why? Because I'm not letting any of that in here. And you have to be careful that you don't let it in your homes with a Bible study method or a devotional book or radio, a podcast, a YouTube message. You have to be careful. You've got to be careful. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. This is how you can know for sure you're going to eternal life or you're going to have eternal life. I'm going to put it on top of my hand because the Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. Just like God, have no sin, we all fall short. If we were to pay for our sin, we'd have to go to hell, forever separated from God. No amount of good works can save us. If I let my notes represent good works, I cannot exchange my sin with my good works. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. God loves us very much. He hates this sin because our sin separates us from him. This hand will represent Jesus Christ, and I mean that reverently. He was fully God and he was fully man. And what Jesus did for you and I 2,000 years ago on that cross at Calvary is what you and I could never do for ourselves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So simple, so simple. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, Philippian jailer. Why was that? Because he went back to his house, and they trusted too. You see soul winning right there? Well, did he have a Bible college education? Because without it, he really can't. You can share the gospel. Look at the woman at the well.
Amen.
Look at the woman at the well. Proven to be a liar, to be sinful, but she understood who she was talking to, and she ran and told everybody in the city. And the disciples came back and said, where's the meat that you say you have to eat? He says, you don't know. Jesus says, you don't know what I'm talking about. The fields are white. They're all ready to harvest. All you have to do to know for sure that you're going to heaven is believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that he paid for all of your sin, and you're in. And that's
Amen.
It. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask as we close tonight, for those who may be watching, that they would put their trust in you. I pray, Lord, that we can learn through these very strong and powerful words in the book of Jude. We can learn how to mark and avoid those who teach contrary to the Scripture. Father, I pray that we would also be sensitive to our own error, to the things that we believe that are not true. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your patience with us. But Father, there is an active attempt to set up this new world order, and it is going to be religious, and it is going to be powerful. And I just pray, Lord, that we can be used in a great and mighty way to help people see that it is only Jesus Christ who saves. And we praise you in this. In Jesus' name we pray.